Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
We're both waiting for some medical results to come back.
Oh my God. What are you waiting for?
Oh, just my, this is not my hematology blood work. This is just my regular doctor physical blood work where I, I'm going to be quick. I cannot take my cholesterol statin, or I have not been taking my cholesterol statin because supposedly it interacts with the medication I have to take for CML. So we just want to sort of test to see where my cholesterol is at, au naturel. And that's one of the reasons why I have been transitioning into a mostly plant-based diet, which has its pros and cons.
Okay, what are the cons? I mean, I feel like the pros, do you want to lead with the pros? I feel like they're more self-explanatory, but I really want to know the cons.
Yeah. So, well, the pros are, like, for the most part, I feel better. I don't really miss meat. I mean, literally, it's been only like less than a month. And also, like, I have had a few bites of like chicken and beef when I've been out with people. I haven't I'm not totally plant-based. I'm obviously not totally vegan. It's like a very sort of just, you know, moderation, but like severe. Like, I'm not cooking any meat for myself. I'm not cooking. I'm trying to, you know, not have much dairy, like very few eggs. This is mostly like, you know, cholesterol driven. Anyway, the pros, other than, well, we'll see, you know, as far as the blood work goes, what the pros are. And then I do feel better. I have been continuing to lose weight, which I know is not a goal that people are supposed to have. But for me, this is the first time I've been under 200 pounds in, I don't even know how long, 12 years, 14 years, 15 years. I don't know.
Congratulations.
And I feel good. And now I'm, but it is like that thing of like, oh, I'm 196. Like, I could get down to 180. And I'm like, that's a spiral that I should not.
Well, what's your like goal weight?
I mean, I always thought my goal weight was 200. When I was like 210, like I've been, you know, around like 210, 215 for a while. And I was like, oh, I would love to, you know, lose a little bit of weight, and like 200 would be great. But now that I'm under 200, I'm like, I could, you know, 180 is not like out of the picture.
It's not. Do you want, so 180 is like your ideal weight?
180 is, see, for me, I feel fine now. I look good. I like the way I look. I like the way I feel. If I'm going by BMI, which I know is a very flawed metric, I should be like 180 if I want to technically not be quote unquote overweight according to BMI. And we'll see as far as like my triglycerides, my cholesterol goes, if weight has something to do with it. I don't know, because it could be, it's probably partly genetic, and then maybe it's partly, you know, diet based, and like, it's, you know, there's so many variables. So I'm just sort of, you know, tinkering around. And then the other pro is on the tennis court, I'm moving faster. I'm getting to balls.
Well,
so
that's huge. Yeah. You got it. No, that's huge.
Cons. There's one con that is sticking out right now that I experienced yesterday, and it is called homemade seitan chicken. It was, so I, this is my fault. I sort of didn't go through official channels. I just stumbled upon someone's blog. Her name is Nora. I blame her. Nora Cooks.
Okay, Nora.
Nora Cooks, who apparently is a big vegan blogger in this space. I trusted her when I was trying to make vegan chicken because, you know, as you guys all know, I cook for my husband and I don't want to have him divorce me. So I will be continuing to cook meat for him when he so desires. So yesterday, I was going, there's this very simple, nice lemon chicken recipe from the New York Times. You just, you bread, you just take chicken breasts, you dredge them in a little flour. It's not a full batter. And then you make this lemon sauce with lemon zest, lemon juice, shallots, garlic, olive oil. Very simple. And so I got him some chicken breasts. I made it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this lemon chicken, but make homemade seitan. So what Nora tells you to do is you're getting the vital wheat gluten from, I got just like the Bob's Red Mill from Whole Foods. Her recipe is you're mixing it with regular all-purpose flour. You're supposed to do 2 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. I cut that in half just because, you know, you guys know my nutritional yeast sensitivities.
First.
Then you're doing onion powder, garlic powder, paprika, salt, vegan chicken flavored broth or vegetable broth. And this is, you know, this is what I just had. All I had was regular old Better Than Bouillon that has chicken in it. So I used it. I'm not buying all new ingredients until if I run out, I'll get the vegetarian broth. You know what? You guys are fine. I'm not, I don't need to explain anything to you.
It's anyway, fine. It's fine.
I used chicken bouillon.
Okay. So it wasn't vegetarian.
It was not vegetarian because, you know, it's like, if I'm doing this for health, I'm, you know, these animals, they deserve long lives. But if I'm being honest, this is not what why I'm
well, it's doing. Like, what are you going to do? Throw it out.
Yeah. I just had to pay.
It's not like the chicken is like, kill me and turn me into a soup cube and throw me in the garbage. Yeah. It's like, at that point, it's like,
it's already not dead. So then she has you, it's basically this disgusting dough that you're splitting into 6 little chicken breast shaped blobs. And then you're supposed to wrap each one in foil. And then you're steaming them for a half hour, 30 minutes, it says, in a steamer. And then after that, then she was like, use like you would chicken breast. So you can saute them. You can do this. You can do that. So I steam them for a half hour. And I unwrap them. And they still, to me, feel like little disgusting blobs of dough. They do not have any sort of resemblance to chicken breasts, to meat texture, to meat flavor. I took a little bite just to see, and it was disgusting. So then I'm like, well, I'm gonna follow through. And so then I took, you know, I sauteed them in the pan after I'd sauteed John's real chicken breasts. Again, this is not vegetarian because I'm using the same oil, the same whatever, but you know, small steps. And I sauteed them. I put them in the fridge. I was like, all right, we'll see. When I get home from tennis, we're going to have dinner and I'll see what I can do if I can choke this down. I got home. I made some brown rice, a salad, and then I heated up John's chicken. I heated up my blobs of wheat gluten. And I had one more bite and immediately I was like, this is all going in the compost. It's it's inedible. Inedible is I make a lot of food in my life and this is maybe the most disgusting thing I've ever made in my kitchen.
Okay. Okay.
So then I just I had a frozen pupusa that was in the freezer that I heated up.
Good. And, you know what? Good.
Yeah. So I'm not,
you know,
I'm not giving up on the seitan journey. I will be attempting the Bob's Red Mill official recipe because I'm sure that one has been like tested by professionals and they say to steam for 80 minutes. And I feel like that might have made a bit of a difference, but I don't know. So So yeah, that was the con. That was like a moment of, what am I doing? Am I just going to go through the rest of my life either eating this disgusting shit or just eating, like, you know, chickpeas and lentils for the rest of my life? And then, you know, then suicidal ideation, you know, throwing myself out a window. Like, there's like, it's like a, you know, a snowball that snowballs
yeah.
down the hill is the metaphor I'm going for. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like part of new dietary restrictions involves, you know, experimentation.
You have to.
You have to. I likewise am on a new diet journey as a gluten-free American. I'm still waiting on my celiac results, but my doctor was like, start familiarizing yourself with gluten-free. And I was like, what if it's not celiac? And she was like, if it's not celiac, I would recommend that you try a gluten-free diet. And I was like, okay, so either way it's gluten-free. And she was like, yes. And I was like, okay. So I have been, I think I've been like 100% gluten-free since that conversation, except for the immediately after I did go and eat a giant sandwich.
You gotta get it out of your system.
Get it out of my system. And then after that, there has not been any gluten unless I got some unintentionally, which is possible. And I think it might have some health effects. I mean, one thing that I've noticed is like, there's so many times that someone will bring a box of cookies or like order pizza for like a meeting or a rehearsal or something, and I won't eat it, or like I'll like know that that's the plan and I'll like get a salad before or something. And just kind of being compelled to make those choices instead of like relying on willpower, I'm taking as a bit of like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
You know, that's life, whatever. It's fine.
What has there been one like gluten-free treat that you've had so far that you're like, oh, I'm so excited that I've been turned on to this and I'm looking forward to eating like that?
No, there hasn't. The only things are like, well, I have like a bag of Tate's gluten-free chocolate chip cookies, which everybody knows are good.
Oh yeah, those are good.
You know, and just like eating things that I would have eaten anyway, like a lot of like corn tortillas. And really just a lot of salads with like chicken or something on it. I mean, nothing crazy. But then also like ice cream, you know, is gluten-free. Wine remains gluten-free.
Sure.
It hasn't really been, there's nothing that I'm like, oh my God, the gluten-free version of this is so much better.
No, but there's enough, yeah, to choose from that.
There's enough. And it's like, I really can't tell. Like last night I made this Hungry Root recipe, quote unquote, that's like, just like a cut up turkey burger and bonza and their like pesto sauce that they send you. And like, I really would have made that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I just like would have eaten anyway, like without thinking that it was gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really tell the difference between like bonza and regular pasta.
No, if you're putting sauce on it and stuff, it's like really hard to tell the difference. Same with like gluten-free pastries for the most part. And like bread. Yeah.
The gluten-free bread tastes like shit.
Oh,
gluten-free pizza is not the same.
No, gluten-free pizza. Well, gluten-free. I do want to actually. I forgot. I posted this on Instagram a few days ago, but I did make the that.
Oh yeah, we have to talk about that.
Bread. What is it called? Bread that will change your life or whatever. It's so a life-changing like loaf of bread.
Isn't it just like nuts pushed together into a loaf?
It's nuts pushed together. Well, mostly seeds. It's like chia seeds. It's a ton of flax, and then you're like, you're basically making a paste of like psyllium husk powder and water, letting it sit for like hours, and then shaping it into a loaf and baking it for a long time.
Okay.
It's not at all the texture of like what one would think of as bread. It's like, it's squishy.
It looks like a big like
piece of shit.
It's like birdseed.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's birdseed because there's no leavener. Like you're not putting any yeast. You're not putting any baking powder. So it doesn't rise. It's just like a hunk of seeds. But then, you know, when I'm cutting it up and I'm putting a couple pieces in the toaster and spreading a little earth balance on it in the morning, it's really tasty. I actually really like it. The only problem is after a few days, I realized this has psyllium husk in it, which has a lot of fiber. So I should not be eating it within, it's what you're supposed to be 2 hours of taking the pill I have to take every day. So I'm like, I have to either switch the time that I'm taking this pill or have this bread for lunch rather than breakfast, which is not a big, you know, sacrifice. But I was like, oh, I sort of liked, this was like a new breakfast ritual. And now it's sort of, because it is, it's quite high in fiber. You're getting like, for every little tiny slice, you're getting about a teaspoon of psyllium husk, which is like 5 grams of fiber. So you're having two slices. That's 10. That's a lot of fiber.
Yeah.
But it is. I enjoyed it. I thought you know what you're getting into, but it's not bad. So I might make another loaf. I might, you know, see about trying the Gwyneth specific loaf with the cherries and pistachios.
Yeah, that looked good.
And the bread is slightly sweet because you're putting, it's just a tablespoon of maple syrup in the whole loaf, but it like gives it a nice sort of malty flavor. And then I also like, you know, I like the earth balance, and I put a little malt and salt on there too to get, you know, my sweet spicy, sweet salty mix.
Interesting.
But yeah, just be careful of fiber. It's like, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Because you can't take it with your medication.
I can't take, yeah, because like, I guess, you know, if I take a bunch of fiber with the medication, then the medication might just like go right through me without being absorbed in the body. I think that's the idea.
Oh, I see. Wow. Okay.
And I could just like poop out the pill, which is no good for it. You're not supposed to do that. Yeah.
No.
So after like, I did it like 4 days in a row and I was like, oh, I probably should not do this.
No. Okay. Well, good to know. I know that I will never make this bread, but I'm happy
it's actually pretty easy. Like once you collect all the ingredients, I feel someone texted me about, oh yeah, because she was like, there's a lot of ingredients. I don't know if it's worth it. And I think because I had most of the, I only had to buy like chia seeds and there was like one other thing I had to buy. So it was not that big of a investment for me. But if you don't have any of the ingredients, you're like, it's like $50. And then you have like, in order to get your money back, you have to like make like 10 loaves or whatever. So.
Another quick side note, did you see the Bon Appetit anti-Chipotle article?
I don't think I did. What did it say?
Well, I haven't read it, but here it is. When did we fall out of love with Chipotle? Worshipped for long enough, any beloved cultural touchstone is bound to lose its cultural cachet. Skinny jeans, Tumblr, One Direction, and now Chipotle. When the burrito and rice bowl chain first opened, it was synonymous with moderately upscale Mexican fast food. Now a chorus of voices from platforms like TikTok and Reddit, diners have been sharing stories of declining quality, shrinking portions, and a general feeling of disappointment about the once glorious chain.
See, this is Bon Appetit.
And I know you've been very anti-Chipotle.
I don't really understand the premise of the article because I never was in love with Chipotle in the first place. But I mean, I'm sure that they have like had declining portions, and you know, food costs are up everywhere. So I think everywhere has like sort of smaller portions. And then I think also people might just in the last several years have like had more examples of like Mexican food that they've eaten. So Chipotle doesn't seem so good in comparison.
It says they've had an E. coli scandal.
Well, that's true too.
And the change increased food safety, but it didn't lend to a fresher tasting end product. Since then, the chain has also hiked prices drastically. Chipotle said a company purchased for more than 58.3 million pounds of organic transitional and or locally grown ingredients. They purchased that. And then according to the company, they buy more local produce than any other restaurant group. Waning novelty could have something to do with a dimming collective perception of Chipotle. That's kind of your point, Brian. Well, yeah. Chipotle was once the main player in the fast casual space, and now has competitors like Sweetgreen, Cava, and countless other chains,
which are all probably like a little like more healthy than Chipotle. If you are like, I don't want to eat fast food because it's unhealthy, and you're going to like the fast casual, you're probably going to pick, yeah, like Sweetgreen or Cava or whatever.
I like Chipotle still. I mean, I think Chipotle's problem is like if you go and get like a burrito, like those are really like high calorie. I mean, it's like the portions.
Yeah.
Like they give you too much, but it's not like the stuff in it is just like rice and meat and lettuce and salsa. Like it's not, there's nothing like crazy in there.
No. And when you get the bowls, it is like you can be relatively healthy. I guess my thing is it's just always very bland. Unless I'm adding, you know, the cheese, the sour cream, the guacamole, get a side of chips. And like, I'll just, if whenever I go there, I end up just being like, basically like making my own nachos and just like dipping chips and everything. And I'm like, well, this is not healthy.
That sounds good. The chain's attempts at churning out buzzy menu items aren't steering cultural conversation in the way that, say, a Popeye's chicken sandwich does. Mm-hmm. If Taco Bell and Popeye's are dead set on being at the center of every conversation, Chipotle is stuck on the outskirts.
Yeah, because they just are like, oh, we're bringing back the, you know, carne asada, or we're bringing back the like vegetarian sofritos or something. It's unless they're going to go full Taco Bell and being like, we're creating these monstrosities that are going to go viral, there's not much you can do as far as like being exciting.
But then the conclusion is, still there's no better testament to Chipotle's longevity than its evidently unshakable bottom line, despite all the discourse, which I don't think there is that much, but okay, despite all the discourse, the company sales are still on the uptick.
But that's surprising to me.
It's not surprising to me. I mean, I feel like I go there all the time.
I think I've maybe been once since the pandemic started.
It's like just always like, you know, I feel like if you are like at NYU, I feel like people are all, like everybody wants to go there all the time.
Oh yeah. I mean, it is fast and it is like relatively inexpensive and you're going to get full, except I don't know how small, like, have you noticed when you've been there recently, like the portions have gotten significantly smaller?
I mean, I don't think I've ever been able to finish like a Chipotle bowl in one sitting, and that hasn't changed. Like, okay. I always have leftovers. So I may have noticed a little bit. There are people who are about like maximizing, like people have just different values about like what they want when they go out. Like, I really am looking for an experience and like to meet a need. Like, those are my two things. Like, I have to eat lunch and I'm stuck in this place. What is relatively inexpensive and healthy? And like, I know what to expect. That would be like a Chipotle. That would be like a reason I would go to Chipotle if like that's what I want. But then there are people who are like, I don't want to get ripped off. Like, some people, when they pay for anything, like want to get like an insane amount of value out of it.
Yeah, they always feel like people are getting one over on them if they're not getting, you know, the maximum.
And there are hacks which are just like, I don't know why. Like, I just saw this thing on Instagram of someone being like, here's what you do. Like, you have to always ask for more of everything and ask for two meats because then they'll give you full portions of both, and like, ask for extra this and extra that. And it's like, I guess you could, I mean, that's always been possible. You could always be like, can you put more in there? And they will.
And they charge you for it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I never ask for, I literally always get the same thing, which is just like half romaine, half rice, chicken, corn salsa, pico de gallo, spicy salsa, a little bit of cheese, and that's it.
I mean, that's, yeah, that sounds like good and healthy and filling. And,
and I feel like if I'm in some place and I'm like, I just want to like know what kind of, like, I want like a basically like a component meal of just like, I know what's in here. It's ideal.
For sure. No, I think, yeah. I think that's true. And I'm not against, because there's a Chipotle. The only one I pass by regularly is the one right next to the movie theater in Burbank. And so.
Oh, yeah.
I will have, like, there will be times where it's like right before a movie and I want something to eat. And you know, I'll think about going there. Maybe I will take a Chipotle journey and check in. Cause it really has been years since I've eaten there. And just to see, especially, you know, if I'm doing plant-based, like how it stacks up.
I mean, I feel like for Chipotle, you can't think of it as like you're eating Mexican food. Like, you're eating Chipotle. You're eating, yeah, like, you can't, any more than Taco Bell is Mexican food. Like, it's its own unique fast food thing.
And I think what I brush up against is because I, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area with mission style burritos, which is what Chipotle is like based on, basically, that sort of going down the line and picking this, picking that. And, it's just such an inferior product to like any taqueria that you would go to. And so I never really understood the appeal. But I guess it is that customization where, because even in LA, I sort of thought that like all taquerias are like that, where you're choosing everything and they're making it right in front of you. And then you go anywhere else besides the Bay Area and it's not really like that. So.
Yeah, it's... I guess it can't hold a candle to a mission style burrito.
No, but it probably is like, you know, a little healthier.
I feel like it's just I would never even like think of those two as I didn't grow up in the Bay Area and I don't have that like expectation of like I want to go down and pick every single thing to put in the burrito. But I would never think of it in the same way I would think of like whatever my version of that was, like King Taco or Cactus or like something like that. Like I would never be like, or Chipotle.
Yeah.
No, I think of them as just two totally different things.
Absolutely.
That said, we may have been talking about Chipotle for too long.
Well, you know, it's a popular brand still, even after this.
I mean, I was surprised that Bon Appetit was writing about it. I just feel like it's kind of this like ubiquitous, like if you're in a situation where you're like, I have to eat something, what am I gonna do right now? I'm out.
I mean, this is a clickbait article, like, because this, I guess, was published. It says November 30th, 2023. So it must have been like redistributed recently.
It was just posted on their Instagram.
Yeah. And I think with Bon Appetit, they, you know, they'll do the Trader Joe's reviews. They just like obviously have to like get more eyeballs on things. And so they're talking about, you know, big brands that like your average consumer will know about rather than like some, you know, like preserved lemon chickpea thing that like no one cares about.
So true.
Can I go a little local and talk about something that has been I don't know, on my mind? So I've not really dug too deep into the saga of my local shoppy shop, Wine and Eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to share this Instagram story that appeared 2 days ago.
Okay.
That shows sort of, I don't know. This is where we're all at.
Okay.
This is, you know, the owner of Wine and Eggs, who seems like a very lovely woman. She posts 2 days ago, this is a big announcement, community near and far. I come to you with an open heart, and please know this is really hard to put out there. I'm not one to ever show all my sides, but I'm tired and I want to do this right. This is me looking for a unicorn, someone who wants to partner with us, invest in us, or sadly buy us, so we can continue growing our vision of supporting small and creative makers in a healthier way and continue investing in our team and reaching our full potential. And then she says, more info in the slides. And then we get to the real dirt.
Okay.
It is with excitement and nerves that I put this out into the world, but I feel like it is a good time as I am shifting into a new phase of business and life. Wine and Eggs has been a killer business since the start. We grew so quickly and had to take on warehouse and extra apartment offices to keep up with the momentum that the business brought. Shortly after our opening, about 4 months to be exact, our old business, first business, Individual Medley, which was like, it was not selling foods. It was sort of like, it was the only place in my neighborhood that actually like had like products that you would see on Goop. It would have like moon juice powders, and, you know, it would sell like Vintner's Daughter and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that was in operation for nearly 10 years at its location, but it was served a 30-day eviction notice, and this like weed dispensary called Stash Dash came into it, which is like a monstrosity in the neighborhood that she hates and I hate as well. This was shocking and a major punch to the gut, but being that it was a huge moneymaker for us, truly our bread and butter, that was the catalyst for our business openings, including Wine and Rock, which I think is her store out in Joshua Tree, and Wine and Eggs.
Okay.
We thought the right move would be to move the shop. So then this Individual Medley is what turned into the dearly departed shop Dreams, which I spoke to you guys about.
Okay.
Sadly, so Individual Medley became Dreams, which made no sense. It was, I don't think it had the same stuff that Individual Medley had. It was like weird objet d'art, and it was like only open like 2 days a week. It made no sense. So the landlord, this is continuing on with her post. The landlord was a bully, and his treatment of me and my team left me in crippling anxiety. I was prescribed many antidepressants and eventually benzodiazepines to cope with the stress he inflicted on me. Shortly after we opened, I was told to stop taking my benzodiazepines because they are highly addictive and used primarily for panic anxiety attacks. I, on the other hand, was taking them twice a day. The sudden stop of this medication sent me into a plethora of health ailments, including full-blown drug detox. I have never been around a person who detoxed. I didn't know what it looked like, and it was the most terrifying time in my life as I navigated something that could have killed me. The detox triggered jaundice, fatty liver disease, gallstones, emergency surgeries, and many immunodeficiencies that I am still battling. Being a small business owner, and the main one running the show, I had to hire lots of people to keep up with the workload that I was not able to maintain due to my failing health. At the same time of that investment in my health, our business Dreams brought in tons of debt and never recovered. We had no choice but to stop the bleeding and close Dreams. Closing Dreams, we were at our lowest low financially. I spread myself so thin with that project, and it started to affect our thriving business, Wine and Eggs, and Wine and Rock negatively. This crippled our buying power and spending power drastically. The past 9 months, I have been living full-time in Los Angeles away from my family and two small children. I'm not even going to go on. So anyway.
No. You are with you.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay, listening.
I'm in stunned.
It's just stunning silence. That she would make this public. I really do empathize. And I'm not.
Go on.
Okay. The past 9 months, I've been living full-time in Los Angeles away from my family and two small children, working almost daily at Wine and Eggs to put a dent in our debt, to help cut overhead and turn the tides around. And I feel like we have finally hit a spot where we're in a better place, at least the best place we can be for now. That said, I've missed my kids' first lost tooth, then their second, getting glasses, awards, parent-teacher conferences, holiday concert performances, first day of school. I know I'm not special. Many parents have to live separate from their kids and be away for long stretches, but that space from my family, the crushing pressure to turn the tide around and working as much as I can physically could have left me in a state of crippling exhaustion. Working as much as I physically could has left me in a state of crippling exhaustion. I burned the candle at both ends until there was nothing left but smoldering embers. I need help and want help. I want to grow this baby. I have lots of plans for expanding this brand, and I'm here ready and asking for someone to believe in us. I have been approached by potential investors in the past, but I didn't know really how to engage with them when I was younger, nor did I think we needed them. My limited experience in business, especially finance, has been a difficult learning curve. Being self-taught, first generation, and literally nobody in my family that has experience in law or finance, it has been a lot of hard lessons, and I'm ready for something new. This is me looking for a unicorn again. Someone who wants to partner with us, invest in us, or, this is just repeating what she said on her original post. Please don't think there is anything to fear. We're not going anywhere. Lessons learned from getting a 30-day eviction. We got a long lease and are secure, thank God. But we are ready for this new chapter and can be very transparent. It's been a hard cocktail of hurdles that have landed me in a place where I just want to ask for some help. If you're interested, if anyone that listens to Goop Yourself wants to run a beautiful shoppy shop in Atwater Village, I'll forward her email address. It's just monica@wineandeggs.com. And she will put you in touch with her broker and let's chat. That's the end of the post. So wait, what do you think? Okay. What do you think of this post to just put out in the world?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't really get it. Like, I don't understand what, like, the whole thing of, like, I was detoxing and I'm on benzos, and it just sounded like what? I don't really understand what she's talking about. Like, first of all, I think everybody, I mean, is she trying to sell it, or is she just trying to get someone to give her money so she can keep running it?
It seems like she's open to all possibilities.
But then she's also like, but don't worry, because we're not actually going anywhere, because she's like, we're not going to close.
They signed a long lease, apparently. So I think they're, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the thing of, like, her landlord was really shitty to her, and it must be so stressful to, like, own a small business. I know in my limited experience working for a small business, my boss also developed a drug problem and went through a mental breakdown and had to leave Los Angeles. So it's actually a very similar situation.
Well, didn't your boss already have a drug problem before? Like, it wasn't like this owning a small, the stress of owning a small business drove her to,
yeah, I think it was a spiral situation. I mean, yeah, let's, I don't want to speculate.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that sounds rough, but life is hard.
Yeah. So it is crazy. Like, the honesty and just sort of like the rambling nature of, if you're like, I don't know, like, to keep sort of your, like, the darkest parts of your personal life a little separate from, like, your business.
It's hard for me to empathize simply because, like, this isn't a person, I think that there is limited value in her project of a shoppy shop, okay? Like, I think that these are, like, this is like a ubiquitous sort of like genre of store that caters to extraordinarily privileged people and sells things that are fundamentally, by definition, useless and unnecessary. So, like, I understand that, like, she has a vision and a dream for, like, what this will mean for a community, but it's not actually something that I want to have a community of, like, wealthy people who can afford to, like, stop in and buy $12 cartons of eggs and $50 bottles of, like, shitty natural wine from me.
I'm still pissed off when I went in on New Year's Eve and the only bottle of sparkling wine they had was over $50.
Yeah. And, like, it's like the kind of thing that, like, the only thing that makes it more valuable than other stuff is like, the only thing that makes her shoppy shop different from, like, a bodega or a corner store is, like, the packaging of the thing that she's selling, for the most part. it's like a, and it's also like these stores, like they don't have any, like they tend not to have any like unique character. Like, what is it about Wine and Eggs that's so different from like any other store like that in any other neighborhood? They all sell the same stuff. They all sell, like, it could be in any neighborhood, in any state, in any city. I mean, it's like, I can't really understand why you would like work yourself to the bone and try to like kill yourself bringing the people of Atwater
Ratsa olive oil.
Olive oil and Fishwife. Exactly. Like, what? I don't get it. It's like, and all of this stuff you can also get at like Whole Foods.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that's the thing is like, because I think like a few years ago, you know, to just pick on these brands, Grazza, Olive Oil, and Fishwife were just in like the shoppy shops, but Whole Foods is obviously smart. Like, they're Whole Foods for a reason. So they know like the things that actually sell. And so they'll, any like little brand that actually has like potential, they'll start putting in their stores. And so you're left. I mean, the thing with, it's like, it is not a unique place, but it's like unique for the neighborhood. So any neighborhood that can sustain, that has like a, you know, a wealthy or like you know, a clientele that likes to buy this stuff, that's the thing. It's like, oh, this one is, it's literally, you know, it's a 2-minute drive for me, whereas if I wanted to go to Whole Foods, it's a 10-minute drive. I mean, and then like if I'm going on the way somewhere and I want to pick up a housewarming gift, it's just like it's a nice thing to have in the neighborhood. But you're absolutely right. It is at the end of the day exactly like all of these other stores and all of these other neighborhoods that are doing the same thing.
Well, I feel like the value of a store like Wine and Eggs, or like, I think it relates to Goop in this way, like a real like independent store can introduce new products to communities because it's curated by a person with taste.
Yeah. And to her credit, there are a lot of things in that store that you,
I'm sure. Yeah. And also like a person with taste who also is bringing like new products that aren't maybe part of this sort of like national, like sort of like this, like there's just like an aesthetic uniformity to these things that is depressing and uninteresting. And I'm not saying Wine and Eggs is that. I'm just saying like I don't really get a sense of like, I don't know, like novelty, you know what I mean? It just feels like everything is kind of the same. So I'm sure that she does have great taste, and I'm sure that she does have an interest in like giving smaller businesses a chance and like new artists a chance. And like, that's why she like ultimately wanted to start her store. I'm sure of it. It's just, I don't know. I guess there just isn't a market for it. I mean, I don't know. Sorry. Like,
well, it's like a
market will decide.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it's like, because
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I love that store, and I would go in relatively regularly. And then I, you know, for the last year or so, the shelves just aren't stocked. So, like, I know that they're struggling financially. They can buy fewer products. So when I go in and I ask for things, I'm like, oh, you know, I would get my flour tortillas there because they're good flour tortillas. Oh, we're out of stock. Any sort of like soft cheese that I can bring to a party? Oh, no, we don't have that. It would be, sometimes they wouldn't even have eggs. And I'm like, that's literally in the title of your store.
Yeah.
And so it, the last few times has been, as a consumer, frustrating, because I'm like, I'm making a point to like spend my money at a small business, and you're making it so hard for me when I could just literally go to Whole Foods and get all this stuff.
It'd be that same thing.
Yeah. So, but I wish her luck, because she is putting herself out there in a very vulnerable, almost, a very vulnerable way.
I mean, I don't really like the way that she's going about that either. Like, is it a charity or is it a business? Like, is she asking for people? Like, I don't know. It's just, there's something about it that is just like, feels like very entitled to me.
Yeah. Well, it's coming from a place of like desperation. Like, yeah, she's like, it's like a GoFundMe, but maybe this is like a new, it's like the post millennial, post girl boss era of business owners that is, instead of being like, this is how much money we can make you, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, we're like literally mentally ill and we need help. Please invest.
But like, but what you're calling like the girl boss thing is just like how businesses run. Like, it's not like women invented that. It's like for a business to attract investors, it has to show that it will be profitable. Like, that's just like how it works. And instead of doing that, she's just like, please give me money because I'm mentally ill. And like, I don't know. I'm mentally
and I can't
ill
see
too.
My children.
And I'm working hard too. Like, I have a lot of student debt. I'm in grad school and I'm fucking working hard. And
yeah,
I'm on SSRIs. So like, maybe you should give me the money. Like, why her? I don't know. Or you?
Yeah, we just had to pay a shocking amount of taxes this year, which really put a dent in everything. So I am begging.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like also like she has a means of earning money, which is like selling her wares in her store. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like, well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I'm really curious to just know what happens. Because I'm wondering if a post, I've never seen anything like it, honestly. You
know, and she didn't make it a claim. She didn't even make a claim for like the value of like what the store brings to the community. Like, she didn't talk about like, this store is important because XYZ, like, why is it important? Why is it different from other Shopee shops? Why are her products different than things that you're going to find in any other store? And like, who needs this and who is it benefiting? All she did was like, feel sorry for me. I want this. Like, so what? Like, you, it's important because you want it. Is it benefiting anyone besides you?
Yeah.
And like, make a case for that. It's just like, it's, that's, I think, fundamentally why I find it like distasteful.
Yeah. No, I totally see what you're saying. And I guess I have because I do enjoy that the store exists, and there's definitely things I like getting there. So I have, I guess, a rooting interest in in keeping it open. But it is wild that this is like publicly available. And now it's just like coming from such a place of like powerlessness, which as a business owner, I mean, I don't want to be a business owner. It sounds horrible, but, it's so weird. Anyway.
Wait, what's her name? Where did you find that post?
Oh, it's just Instagram. If anyone wants to, it's a public Instagram post. So I'm not, it's just Wine and Egg Shop is the Instagram handle. And then Yeah, it's just on the plane, the regular.
Oh, I see.
It's the last like post that she did.
Oh, and it's like this like long thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, there's a slideshow which has the big message and then the caption has like the beginning of it. Anyway, it's quite a saga.
We'll see. It again.
Yeah. All right. Any other? Oh, just quickly, Moses turned 18. Congratulations.
Birthday, Moses.
Happy birthday. He'll be going off to college in the fall. Very exciting. And he seems to be getting into music too, according to Gwyneth. But then Apple seemed to be sort of soft launching a music thing a few years ago, and then it never happened. So we don't know what these kids are doing.
He posted. Wait, I saw where he was going.
Oh, he's posted publicly where he was going.
Yeah, I think so. Hang on, let me see. I'll figure it out.
Because
Is it like Vanderbilt?
Well, I know Apple goes to Vanderbilt, which they sort of haven't really publicly announced, but you know, it's from all the context of Brown. Oh, nice. Okay. So we're gonna have Gwyneth's guide to Providence, Rhode Island soon.
Yeah.
Right, I almost applied to Brown, but then I didn't. It sounds cool.
Well, I guess you'll never know.
Absolutely never know. All right. Shall we move on to the newsletters?
Yeah, we must.
What was your best of the week?
My best of the week was simply this article, like, are your sleep problems because you're perimenopausal? And I didn't read it because I didn't have to, because I know I'm not perimenopausal because I went to the gynecologist and she was like, you have a very healthy reserve.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
And I just like to tell people that whenever it comes up.
That's exciting. So you actually could see a Goop article and be like, you know what? That doesn't apply to me. You guys have your own problem.
I don't need it. Which is like no better feeling in the world.
That does sound wonderful.
Yeah.
I didn't read it either because I'm clearly not menopausal. So
you're not.
Neither of us can relate.
No, can't relate.
My best was a separate email we got, I think it was actually at the end of last week, like maybe right after we recorded last week, where Gwyneth, for the first time in 2024, had a real live this and that.
Oh, this and that, huh?
Which
I hate this and that.
I love it so much, and she hardly ever does it. And it's like, I just crave it because I'm never there. I never am on my game to like be there for her Instagram lives when she answers questions. And I hate the ephemerality of Instagram live because I can never look at it after. You know what I mean? I like it in writing, in print, for me to check whenever I want.
Well, she does put the best of the on her stories.
And like people.com will always like report on it. Anything interesting. But I just like how exclusive this and that is and how like rarely it happens. So we have some good ones this time. She says, thank you to everyone who answered the call on the Goop Instagram channel and sent in questions for me to answer in my first this and that of 2024. I tried to fit in as many here as I could without writing you a novella. Love, Gwyneth. What are your favorite travel trips and travel tips and products? There's a new travel app called AmiGo, which is like, I guess it's what, remember the old G-spotting? The travel app that they launched?
Yeah.
This seems like G-spotting. It's like a exclusive travel tips, but you have to like be admitted. It's sort of like Raya. You have to be like admitted into it.
Mm.
Then What does a typical day look like for you? Wake up, meditate, have coffee with Brad and Moses, exercise, go to work, come home, eat, take a bath, watch a murder show, sleep.
Sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. How much time did you invest in Goop when you first started? A lot. I was learning how to do everything myself. Used to take me to write each newsletter. Product for even skin tone. Obviously, the Youth Boost Peptide Serum. Light or dark shorts for summer. White. Okay. Favorite sex therapist. She likes that Michaela Boehm lady. She recommends a G-Label shirt dress, a sweater dress. I won't go through all of these. Oh, nutritionist you recommend, Will Cole. And then also registered dietitian Shira Barlow. Pilates or yoga, both. Do you still do acupuncture and cupping? I do. Best sleep mattress, avocado. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Where should I stay in Nashville? Soho House. Alcohol-free champagne. Don't mess with it. And the last
alcohol-free
question.
Alcohol-free what? She doesn't mess with
it? Alcohol-free champagne. So it's just like fancy Martinelli's.
I guess. Or like all of those, you know.
Yeah, like I think Countess Luann has one, I think.
Is she sober?
Yeah, supposedly. Like she is sober. Do you miss having a cocktail daily? I do very much.
Interesting.
So just a little catch up on what she's up to.
Just to catch up.
I was I was sort of not happy that she mentioned Will Cole. In my fantasies, I thought that they had like a falling out and that he had gone the way of Elise.
They had a falling out too. They really kind of seemed like they were on the outs, but I guess they're not.
I thought she would come to her senses that he was like this like weird Svengali that was trying to control her.
I guess he didn't. I guess she didn't. Too bad.
What's your worst?
Well, but I mean, it's kind of a, like, I don't know. I could also see she just still said that, but doesn't maybe really.
Yeah, she feels
on the outs.
And like, she could appreciate what he did for her at a certain time in her life, but now is realizing that she cannot adhere to his
strict. She doesn't need him.
She doesn't, no. All right, what's your worst?
The Goop list.
That was mine too.
It's just a bunch of hotels. Like, if you're gonna do a Goop list, like, bring me something. What is this? So like, first of all, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, why this is the Goop list as if it's like gonna be a thing, and then it's just like the same fucking annoying ass hotel list that you've always had on your website. And it's like, I don't know. I just like, I don't understand the hotels thing. I mean, they just obviously have like a lot of brand deals with these hotels.
Yeah.
And like are trying to always find new ways to like talk about hotels as if it's like an article, but like, it's not like, you know, I feel like I'm channeling my brother and I'm going to be like, it's not news. Like, there is a hotel is not news. What is this?
I think they're, I assume. So this is a new feature called the Goop list, where supposedly they're going to start doing this for every category of product. So they'll have a restaurant one, a spa one. Maybe they'll even do, I don't know, beauty products or whatever. But I think they're trying to make it like, you know, like the like Michelin star or like the, what's the one like 50 best restaurants in the world that's like really exclusive?
That's not Michelin star.
I think it's different. Maybe that's like, it's like Noma was always
thing that like whatever that like place where they ate moss.
Noma, yeah. Like, yeah, I think it was San Pellegrino was the one who sponsored it. It was like Pellegrino's.
Do you know what I'm talking about? The restaurant, the famous restaurant with the moss, and then they like all everybody quit, and it was like a huge ordeal.
Noma.
San Pellegrino made the list.
I think they, San Pellegrino makes the list of like the 50 best restaurants in the world. So Goop, I think, is trying to get into that racket. And I imagine they want the hotels to, like, on their front door, just put like the stick, you know, there's like a Yelp, you know, 5 stars on Yelp. They want like stickers on the door being like, we're on the Goop list.
Yeah. You think? I don't think that's what they
want. I feel like the hotel thing, like you said, it's out of all the stuff that Goop talks about, it's like the most inaccessible because like very few people travel this much. Very few people can afford to go to any of these hotels. So it's just like, it's not even fun to read about them. Cause I'm like, well, I know I'm never going to go there. So like, what is the point?
Yeah. I'm not like doing any type of like, also like these, I feel like nothing is ever as good as you read about in a magazine. And like, I just can tell, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm not into it. I don't know why. I just like, I don't like it.
Yeah. And that, and then also, like you said, all like so many of these hotels have already gotten like profiles on Goop. Like I recognize them from Goop. So they obviously just have deals with them, or like, it's like the ones that Gwyneth has been to and likes them. Cause no one, even as someone as well-traveled and privileged as the people in Goop, can have like gone to like comprehensively all these different hotels.
I mean, I feel like that's not what this is. It's like, this is just advertising for the hotels. Like the hotels paid them and to be on this. And that is what they're going to do for every single thing on these lists. I don't think Goop wants to be perceived in any particular way by travelers or anybody else. I just think that they're like, oh, if you get want to be on our list, like we can guarantee that you're going to be read by X amount of people and you'll be in our newsletter that goes out to X amount of subscribers and it costs this amount of money and we'll like profile you. But like there's no genuine, unless they're doing, I don't know. It's just like, it's not a, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, it's kind of like, it's so transparent and it's so pointless. It's like, it's literally like, this is just a list of hotels.
Yeah.
Like I could see the same thing. Why not just go on like TripAdvisor?
True.
Like, I don't understand it's just like, there are nice pictures of the hotels. Yeah. I guess.
Sort by like most expensive, and then you'll get the same list on TripAdvisor. And there's only like, it's weird, there's only two hotels in the United States on this whole list. One in the Smoky Mountains and one on Lanai. Like there's nothing in New York. There's nothing in LA. It's sort of odd.
Man, whatever.
Well, I will never go to any of these and I have to make peace with that.
Yeah.
All right. Craziest, saddest?
Oh, let me see. I forgot we had the same one. My craziest. Oh, Anne Lamott. Anne Lamott is being like, is out there for some reason right now. Like, I keep seeing her on like my Instagram. Like, she's blah, blah, blah. She's doing this, she's doing that. I've read one book of hers. It was fantastic.
Does she have a new book coming out or something? Is that why?
She may. I did not realize that she... wait a second. Let me just double check something before I say what I'm going to say.
I don't know.
My perception of her... I just want to make sure that I'm...
Yeah, she has a new book called Somehow.
Okay, she's a white woman with dreadlocks, right? I mean, she's white.
Oh, she's as far as I know. I mean, I don't know what her 23andMe is. She presents as white from looking at her picture. But I guess that's only for her to say. Anne Lamott,
I just want to, before I say anything about it, I just want to be sure. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes...
Oh, yeah, here we go. HuffPost 2015. Anne Lamott, a white writer, discusses her transition to dreadlocks at the encouragement of a remarkably attentive black neighbor, Marlene.
Okay.
Sure. So if HuffPost reports it, we can say it too.
You don't want to ever, like... Because what if I was wrong, you know?
I know, no, totally.
No, all of a sudden I see Anne Lamott and I go, I've never seen a picture of her before. And I loved Bird by Bird. But I was
I got to read that. John loves that book too. I need to read it.
Oh, you have to read it. It's so good.
All right. I'm going to read it.
But I was just like, okay, Anne Lamott, she's out there. She's getting her picture taken all the time. She has dreadlocks. Okay, let's do whatever. Okay, fine. I mean, I don't even know. That's why it's my craziest, because it's like, Anne Lamott's making the rounds and she has dreadlocks.
I didn't even clock from looking at that picture. I didn't even clock that she had dreadlocks. But the fact that there was an article written 8 years ago that basically is like, Anne Lamott saying I can have dreadlocks because my black neighbor gives me permission is like truly psycho. But I guess, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat, I guess. I don't know. But it's just, see, I don't know. And I don't want to be the person, because I know everyone has different opinions about this. I just feel like, why would you, who wants, why, well, I just don't understand why you would like make that your thing. Like, of everything, like, isn't life hard enough to say like, but I also insist on having dreadlocks, even though I'm a white woman, I have to have this. Like, just, why?
Do
you know what I mean? Like, why start that argument? Why be like, every time I show up anywhere, it's like, I will potentially be like really offending someone. I will potentially be, people are going to talk about this. Like, why not just leave it alone? Like, you know that people don't like it. You know that it bothers people. But is it so important that you just have to do it? I don't get it.
Well, I have an answer for you. According to Anne Lamott herself.
Is it because she's like Celtic or something, or Scottish? No.
Well, I need to figure out what this whole essay is, because I'm so fascinated. She says, Anne Lamott, a white writer, discusses her transition to dreadlocks, blah, 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 at the encouragement of remarkably attentive black neighbor Marlene. Though she notes in passing that it felt, quote, presumptuous to appropriate a black style for my own liberation, this concern immediately falls by the wayside. Mostly, she writes, when I thought about having dreadlocks, I felt afraid and disloyal. Dreadlocks would be a way of saying I was no longer going to play with the rules of mainstream white beauty. So she feels confined by the standards of mainstream white beauty, which, fine, like, every woman, every person.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Sure, that makes sense.
This says, it's an understandable argument, but it hints at an uncomfortable history of white women using traditional black hairstyles to appear more exotic or edgy. When she first got dreadlocks.
I personally don't approve of that reason, but I guess it's not for me to approve or not, but I would not. I can understand being like, I feel confined by like, white culture and which, like, how I'm expected.
Do what Sinead O'Connor did, shave your head, or like do whatever,
or just like I don't know.
I don't know, but
I can understand, like, I can understand being like, I don't want to. Well, how did she put it? White beauty standards.
Yes, she said dreadlocks would be a way of saying I was no longer going to play with the rules of mainstream white beauty. And then it says,
I don't know. I feel like that's like sort of whatever. It's not for me to say whatever.
But yeah, it's one thing to be confined by the standards of white beauty, but then in order to transcend those or to make yourself feel better, you're taking a very specific hairstyle from a very specific culture. Like, again, and I'm no one, I'm pro Alison Roman. I have a spotty record on my own stance towards cultural appropriation.
I think there's like a slight difference between like Alison Roman making a chickpea curry and and Anne Lamott saying, I'm not going to be confined by the standards of white beauty, and then getting dreadlocks. I think there is a difference.
I just dearly want Alison Roman to get dreadlocks.
I think you're waiting for that for a while.
She says,
it's not even that I have like strong feelings. It's just that I didn't know. And I was like, okay, she has.
Yeah. Does Lori Moore have dreadlocks? Does Joyce Carol Oates have, like, where are these other elderly white women authors? Are they, what do they think?
They're not doing it.
One more thing. She says, when she got dreadlocks, Lamont recalled the black women who attended her church were ambivalent at first. I'll say, yeah, that's a mild way of putting it. I think it made them a little afraid of me. I mean, isn't that enough to be like, maybe I didn't make the right decision?
That's such an arrogant, everything that she's saying is really annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it made them afraid of me. It made the black women afraid of me. Is that what she said?
No, I don't think that they were afraid of you. I think they were like, what the fuck is this bitch doing? That's not the same as being afraid. I don't know. I don't want to speak for the way that these black women at her church felt.
I guess I don't know what she means by afraid of me, but I think this decision just seems very underexamined.
Yeah, and this was in 20.
Her relationship with her own choice feels underexamined.
This happened 8 years ago, 2015, it was sort of a different world. And yet she continues on 8 years later with the same hairstyle. So it's working for her.
Yeah, now she's really out there for some reason. Does she have a new book? I don't know.
It's called Somehow Thoughts on Love. Very, very fascinating. All right. Well, I would say that we should, you know, be on Anne Lamott dreadlock watch, but I don't think that that hairstyle is going anywhere. If she hasn't changed it by now, she's not changing it.
She likes it. She's happy. Apparently, she's been met with fear, but that's fine. And that's it. Fear and also friendship, all ends of the spectrum.
It says she lives in Northern California with her family. I bet you anything that she lives like in my mom's neighborhood. Let's see, in Lamont,
yeah,
town. It's gonna be like literally on the same street, because you walk down the streets of Berkeley and you see she's in Marin County. She's in Gunter territory. You never know.
Oh yeah, she's definitely got some like Gunter energy. But Bird by Bird is a really good book for writing.
That's what I need to read it.
It's really good.
Oh wait, she sold her Marin home for $1.199 million in 2017. So who knows where she is now?
Who knows?
All right. Oh my, now I can't stop looking at pictures of her. It's so, I mean, it is really funny. It looks like a meme image that is like Photoshopped.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. My craziest, this will not be as crazy as yours, but it is the men's plastic surgery article written by Jean.
Okay.
She interviews, you know, dermatologist and plastic surgeon to the stars, Julius Few, who claims that the percentage of men having procedures has risen from 2-3% 10 years ago to 15-17%. And they're saying that now there are ways to like do all of the nips and tucks, but in a very more macho way that makes your face not look feminized. Cause that was the taboo beforehand, was like any guy who thought that they were going to get like fillers and like Botox and facelifts and stuff just assumed that that would make you look more feminine. But he's assuring the boys that no, you can be as fucking manly as ever and you know, nipped to the gods.
Yeah, you can be, I mean, they can make you look more masculine or more feminine or whatever.
They do. Gene does take a little hot shot at billionaire Brian Johnson.
Is he the guy who like is trying to live forever?
Yeah. She says, yeah. Go down a rabbit hole about Brian Johnson, the tech billionaire turned human longevity experiment, and you'll be amazed and perhaps horrified by many things. Chocolate broccoli pudding, nighttime erection monitors. I don't know if Goop's making fun of you for being too crazy. I think you he have some soul crazy. Searching. He is too crazy.
He's so insane.
But I will be going to the dermatologist soon, and I might ask about a little laser action just for some spots. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, will your dermatologist do it? Usually you have to go to like a cosmetic dermatologist and pay out of pocket.
My dermatologist is both. It's the office that does it's like skin cancer and cosmetic. The real question is, will insurance pay for it? And
yeah,
if it's only if they say that these spots have are potentially cancerous. So I don't know how much stretching of the truth we can do here. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Good luck.
All right. What would you try?
I would try... Oh, their lunch recipe. Their gluten-free lunch recipe?
That little bowl, the green Greek goddess bowl with the hummus and the chicken.
Yeah, this is like perfect. This is like exactly... This is basically what I eat for lunch every day anyway, except for I get mine at Sweet Green. Might as well make my own, but I know I never will.
Well, you could save. I mean, if you're going to, how many times a week are you going to Sweet Green?
I probably go to Sweet Green twice a week.
And are you eating lunch out? Like, do you ever like pack a lunch, or is it like every day you're getting takeout somewhere?
I don't eat out every. Usually I only do on. Like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, okay. Basically.
I mean, that's not bad. But like,
no, it's not bad.
If you wanted it every day of the week, like you could probably spend, I don't know, $30 and get like five big salads.
Yeah. Instead of like $30 and getting two salads.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing, and this is like such a just a Goop thing that I'm like, I almost had this bowl, the thing I would try too, but. You look at it and you're like, you're buying green cabbage. You're buying red cabbage. You're buying kale. It's like.
I would just buy a bag of coleslaw, bag of kale.
Okay.
And then hummus, chicken. I probably wouldn't make the chicken. I wouldn't like make this marinade or anything.
And you're supposed to do Persian cucumbers, cherry tomatoes, and sliced peppercini.
I would do white rice instead of brown. I would do the cherry tomatoes. I would definitely do those pepperoncinis or possibly even pickled jalapenos, which I also love in a salad.
I do love that brand that they shout out. Jeff's Garden is truly the best. So I approve of that.
Hummus, sure. Feta, yeah. Olive oil. I mean, yeah, it's a salad. I mean, it's just salad, but it looks good.
It does look good. So my thing... Because I don't think I would try this exact salad. Also because that's chicken and I'm not doing chicken anymore. At least for the time being. But I would try both that Green Goddess dressing recipe. Where you're doing veganaise. I mean, it's probably disgusting. Veganaise, coconut yogurt, and then a bunch of herbs and garlic. And then their hummus recipe, which is a very just standard basic hummus recipe. But every time I make hummus, I'm always like, this is so much better than store-bought hummus.
I know.
It's almost too much. It's like if I make a batch of hummus, because it's only lasting a few days in the fridge.
You get so much. You can never go through all of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I can join some sort of Facebook hummus group and like.
I feel like you're overthinking
this. I think I am too. But yeah, no, I would do this salad just maybe with a fake a corn or a Gardein chicken breast or just no chicken and extra chickpeas or something.
Yeah, just do chickpeas.
What would you buy?
I would buy the, I think I forgot to select what I would buy, but I did buy several face washes this week
Ooh.
after our conversation about double cleansing. And I bought the, okay, I don't know exactly how to say this. Solwassu gentle, the oil cleaner cleanser, and the Tatcha rice cleanser, both of which I've used before and I enjoyed very much. So that's
Okay.
my would and it buy.
Very nice. I can't buy anything right now again, unfortunately.
No.
But I would buy, if I could, I would buy wine and eggs. And
Oh, that's sweet. I'm sorry I shit on it so hard.
no. I just was like fantasize, like it would be, I would literally, it would it's sort of like a horror movie where I feel like the exact same fate that happened to her would happen to me.
It would, because the business isn't profit. That's the
No, it's
problem with
not.
the whole thing. It's like if someone else came and was like, okay, I'll give you a bunch of money, the only thing that would do would like make her feel better emotionally, but like the business would still go under because it's not profitable. Like that's it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking she overexpanded too soon. That's she really, I mean, I don't get why when Individual Medley was kicked out by the landlord and she got the space across the street. Why didn't she just reopen? If I knew that she just was trying to reopen Individual Medley, I would have gone in there. But the fact that she rebranded as Dream, it was just so many bad decisions. And then I don't know. I feel like wine and eggs, she has too many employees. There's always different people in there. I don't know what she's paying in payroll, but if it was me, I would just sit my ass there every day. And not hire anyone, and it would just be me, and I could turn that ship around, and I would say no Grazza, no Fishwife, nothing that you can get at Whole Foods, no Flyby Jing. I would ban any brand that gets like VC capital, instantly banned.
I love it.
I don't know if it would be more profitable. I
And
probably
that would be like
also
your whole thing.
it would have to be. I think if you're a small business owner, it's not like you can't have hobbies. You can't go on vacation. You don't
No,
see
I
your
mean like for the store, you'd have to be like, we're not doing like no Grazia here. Like that would be your thing. We're not like the other stores.
Yeah, that would be the shtick, is like once you make a deal with Bezos, you're not getting the fuck back in here. I want whatever weird fish that is not good enough for Fishwife, where, and I want no est I want plain packaging, no stupid millennial packaging, everything just in bulk bins. It's gonna go. That's what I really want to own. I want to own a 70s style health food store with just bulk bins.
You should open one in Palm Springs. You and John should move to Palm Springs and open like a health food store.
Like an old school health food store.
Yeah.
Bring back Carob. It would just be like a big like wooden barrels full of different types of sprouts, homemade tofu. I would just have like a deli counter of just like recipes from Moosewood Kitchen. I would have like weird flyers up everywhere, like telling people to go to like strange, energy healing meetings. And I would just hire like scrappy gay teenagers from like that like ran away to Palm Springs and like needed a leg up in life.
Honestly, this is a beautiful dream.
Unfortunately, and this is what got me spiraling the other day, I read an article in the New York Times about the rising ocean temperatures that apparently, even compared with like regular climate change, these scientists are baffled at why the ocean temperatures have risen so much in the past 2 years. And so some people are thinking this is a real pivot point, and the climate disaster actually will happen a lot sooner than we think it would.
Good. We fucking deserve it. You know what? I'm not happy about it, but it's like, fuck everybody. Now I'm mad, but it's like, everyone's like, oh, who cares? It's not gonna happen to us. It's just gonna happen to like our children.
Yeah. Well, it might happen within the next 10 years, and then Palm Springs will be uninhabitable. So I could either just wear like a weird, like UV repelling bodysuit all day and then hope to God that the air conditioning doesn't go out. I don't know. Maybe real estate prices will drop at least.
I mean, I don't know.
Probably not, because there's,
you know what? You know what? I'm really glad that I went to NYU because we'll always have the theater.
Wow. So true.
Yeah.
When New York is like underwater, there will still be people floating on a raft in the East River, which is now the East Lake, doing, you know, waiting for Godot in front of two people.
Probably true.
Beautiful thought. No, please, guys, you should not read that article before you go to bed. It was a really bad decision.
That is incredibly depressing.
And the worst is like the comments, because I thought, I was like, the article is so depressing. I was like, I have to read the comments just to like make me feel better, because maybe people are like, you're overreacting, like this is fake news. I was like, please, someone say that. And but no, they were like, it was like confirming. It was like,
well, if you want to just put on like watch Fox News or something, they'll tell you it's fake.
Oh God, maybe I should.
You'll be fine.
We'll see. All right.
So you'll just flee somewhere.
Flee to who knows where. We'll just be inland. Refugees. I mean, I already live 20 miles inland. It's the season.
Maybe it's time for me to go back to Chicago. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the upper Midwest. I really do think Minneapolis, Wisconsin, Chicago. I think this might be where everyone needs to go.
Maybe Chicago will finally have its moment.
You know, there'll just be millions of people screaming to get into the walled city of Chicago.
I mean, I've done it once, I can do it again.
All right. So these are the goals now. Figure out housing for the climate disaster. Find a small town that is in need of an old school health food store. Take a business course. And hire a bunch of gay teenage runaways to be my minions.
I think that's a good plan, Brian. I think that's good.
Oh, God. Maybe I'll start by just like making the veggie burgers I like to make and then trying to sell them locally.
Brian's veggie burgers.
I mean, there really is a hole in the market for like a really good veggie burger.
Did you make up the recipe?
Yeah. Well, I sort of based it on that America's Test Kitchen, but I simplified it and I did make up one that is like, it's not vegan. I guess I could do a vegan version, but it has eggs and breadcrumbs in it. So it's like, but it's mostly black beans. And then it's like Mexican spices. It's very, I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but I made a batch and they were very good. So I don't know. I would tinker, but like, I don't know. All right. Guys.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Next week, Patreon, and we'll see you all then.
Have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Goodbye. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.